This is Ed Mazur, chairman of the City Club of Chicago. Our speaker today was Judy Fridlin, the commissioner of buildings in the City of Chicago. Judy began by saying that the national bird of Chicago now is no longer the robin or the wren, but it's the high-rise crane. There are 54 large cranes in the Chicago area right now, in downtown Chicago and some of the neighborhoods, soon to be 60 cranes. She said that the city is trying to make it much easier to obtain building permits and that projects should not be tied up in red tape. There has been a dramatic increase in single home permits in this last year, 200% more than the previous year, and the time to get a permit has decreased by an average of 10 days. More permit revenue is being collected by the Department of Buildings. At this point in time, $1 million more than in 2016. Over the last 2 years, there's been a $14 million increase in permit fees. And permit inspections. Inspectors will be working at night and evenings. They're now using handheld tablets, which allows them to get into homes quickly and also to make reports much quicker than ever before. There have been updates in the city's electrical code. Chicago is now the first city to adopt the 2017 National Electric Code. Revisions are coming along in the plumbing area that will spur development, reduce costs, and save taxpayers a great deal of money. And then she talked about the compliance rate with high-rise buildings. Right now, the building department is at a 94% compliance rate, and they hope to reach almost 100% by the end of the year. Their next goal is to update the city's building code so that it is aligned with the international building code. They're partnering with the American Institute of Architects. So it looks like there's a building boom going on in the city of Chicago.
Thank you, Jay, for that wonderful introduction, and Ed, for not letting me trip when I get up here. That's my biggest fear. Thank you for the opportunity to speak here today. It's so wonderful to see so many of my friends take time out of their busy days to come out. I really appreciate it. And I can't believe how many people here I personally know. And I'm so grateful for your friendship. I want to say hello to my daughters, Renee and Michelle, who are watching from New York and Ohio. They had such a good time last year and are so sorry they couldn't be here with us today. My husband, Mike, is here with us today, and I would like to wish my mother-in-law, Rosaline Moriarty Monaco, a happy 90th birthday. Today's her 90th birthday. Rose could not be here, but she's a true Chicagoan. She grew up in Austin, and her mother and father owned and operated Moriarty's, a tavern at Adams and Cicero, for many years. She comes from a line of Chicago police detectives and brothers that work for the Park District. Rose herself taught at Holy Guardian Angels School in Little Italy. Her sister, Marcella Kane, was an Austin housing activist back in the 60s. So happy birthday to Rose. My staff, many of which are here today, and I think they're spread all over if they want to stand up and be recognized. You guys should all stand up. Because trust me, I'm nothing without them. Their support and their energy for the building department and their commitment to the city of Chicago baffles me day after day. I just can't get over how committed they are and how grateful I am to have them with me. We work hard every day to make the Chicago Department of Buildings better, and we have a lot of great news to share. But for those of you who have heard me speak before, you know I like to start out with a good story. So here we go. When I was 15 years old, I was very focused on finding a job. My family only had money for the basics, and, well, I wanted to shop. So that summer, I went from business to business in my Cincinnati, Ohio neighborhood looking for a job with no luck. My father was a Holocaust survivor, and he was happy to be reading and spending time with people discussing religion and philosophy, with no interest in material possessions whatsoever. He would say, "Judith, why are you trying to work? You have your whole life ahead of you to work. Why don't you just relax and enjoy yourself?" In his mind, if you had a roof over your head, food on the table, The Nazis weren't hunting you in the forest, and you didn't have to sleep in a coffin at night. Life was good. What more could a person want? But, alas, I was an American girl, and I wanted to buy clothes, makeup, and have money to go out with friends. Finally, I got a break. My neighbor was going off to college, and she asked me if she wanted her job at the Jewish Center membership office. It paid below minimum wage, but I didn't care. I jumped at the chance and ran off to get my work permit. Later, after I worked there some time, I was told by my boss, Ann Sapadin, that when I went for my interview, I just looked down with my face, with my eyes downcast. I looked like Cousin It from the Addams Family, and I couldn't look at anybody in the eye. That's how shy I was. I immigrated to the United States when I was 2, with my parents and brother. And when I was 3 years old, we as a family became naturalized citizens. Having foreign parents and not being part of the pop culture at the time, I was very shy and insecure outside my comfort zones. Nonetheless, wonderful Annie hired me. Although my father taught me many life lessons in patience, the frailties of human nature, Annie taught me the practical lessons that I needed to learn to get here today. Annie was a Southerner with an adult daughter and a much older husband, Louie. They were such a cute couple. They tragically lost their son, Bobby, in a car accident when he was 16 years old. Annie let him go for a ride with a friend who had just gotten his license. And you can imagine how she beat herself up over the years over that. It was hard for her and Louie to live with this, but I saw that the courage that she had every day for her daughter and for her grandchildren and how she faced the days and how life went on for her. That's not all I learned from Ann. Actually, the reason I'm here today are the top 4 lessons that she taught me. The first lesson from a Southern woman, of course, was that you can do more with honey than vinegar. Be nice. It's so much more productive. And sometimes I forget and I let the vinegar come out, and then I'm always, and I do, trust me, I do. And I'm always regretful because I think back to Annie and what she taught me, and I never feel good about it after. Next, you don't have to show what you know. Sometimes you learn more by listening to others, and this certainly rings true in my role as the commissioner of the Department of Buildings. My first job also taught me to have efficient systems in place to deal with high volume, which, of course, we know at the building department. We would be working, and all of a sudden, I would hear Annie proclaim, "This system stinks." She taught me to identify a bad system and then how to fix it. Finally, Annie taught me to evaluate every important decision in life, whether it was school, jobs, dating, marriage, anything, with one question: will this better me? Every decision in life should lead to an improvement. And speaking of improvement, as you look around our great city, you can see all the building improvements that are happening in the city of Chicago. From a record-breaking number of tower cranes dotting the skyline to a dramatic increase in home renovations in our neighborhoods, Chicago is in the midst of an undeniable building boom. The city of Chicago is committed to being a partner, not an obstacle, in this progress. At the Department of Buildings, we have laid the groundwork in the last 2 years with reforms that make it more cost-effective to build and easier to obtain building permits. Must have said something important. Nobody loves a permit better than all of you out here, right? That's like the most, that's like winning a lotto ticket. We do not want to see promising projects slowed down by bureaucracy or tangled up in red tape. That is why we made a commitment to homeowners last fall to issue single-family home renovation permits with no special requirements in 30 days or less. In 2017, we have seen a dramatic increase in single-family home renovation permits. In 2015, we issued an average of 169 such permits a month, and the first half of this year, that went up to 202 permits a month. Not only are we issuing more permits, we are issuing them faster. The time to get a permit for single-family home renovations in 2017 has gone down by 10 days. And we managed to do this with overall building permit activity on the rise for the past 5 years. To date in 2017, we've issued 1,154 more permits than we did in the same time last year, 2016, and 3,370 more than we did at this time in 2015. So that's a great increase in permits. There are currently 54 high-rise buildings under construction. To date in 2017, 29 high tower cranes have been erected and 58 cranes have been operating throughout the city of Chicago, breaking the post-recession record high of 52 set last year in 2016. And with five tower cranes set to be erected now, we expect to break the record, or the number 60, by the end of the month. For all these large, it's very exciting. It's very exciting. For all these large development projects, we implemented the Direct Developer Services Program in 2015. This program has cut permitting time for large projects by approximately 66% in the last 2 years. Previously, it took approximately 6 to 8 months to get a high-rise permit. It is now possible to obtain a building permit in 2 months. Further, the time to obtain a foundation permit has been reduced by 66% when we brought the OUC process to start at the building department last year. It used to take up a year to get through the OUC. You can now get approval in approximately 2 to 4 months, as long as there's not highly complex underground issues. I don't want to get you too excited, but we're much better than we were. It's an improvement, right? We're better than it was. Since late 2015, we have issued 152 permits for large development projects throughout the city via the Direct Developer Services Program. Some noteworthy permits issued through this program in 2016 and 17 include the new Apple Store, the Willis Tower redevelopment project, the new 95-story Vista Tower, the Chicago Blackhawks training facility, the Nobu Hotel, the McDonald's headquarters, and last but not least, the Hotel Zachary, the new Cubs Hotel. We are also collecting more permit revenue. In the first 3 quarters of 2017, the city collected over $32.5 million in building permit fees, representing an increase of over $1 million, as compared to the same time in 2016, or nearly 3.4%. And in 2016, we collected an additional over $13 million in permit fees over 2015. So in the last 2 years, we've brought in over $14 million in additional permit fees over what we did before. How are we keeping up with our permit inspections? To date in 2017, we have rolled out 105 of our new handheld tablets for our building permit inspectors, starting a pilot program in early 2017 of 10 inspectors. The handheld tablets are connected to the city inspection system and allow inspectors to enter their results in real time, which reduce overall inspection costs for the city, save time on permit approvals, and allow inspectors to complete more inspections. So no more having to go back to the office with all their papers and inputting this information. It's in real time, so it helps people get their licenses more quickly, and it helps people get into their homes more quickly. Initial reports from the first 10 inspectors already show a decrease of 8 days per month of office time from January of this year to September of this year. The tablets also allowed field inspectors to send defect notices electronically to their supervisors, which also decreases office time and helps the city take enforcement action against habitual bad contractors. To further streamline and modernize the construction process, we also updated our electrical code. At the September meeting of the Chicago City Council, Chicago officially became the first major city jurisdiction in the U.S. to adopt the 2017 National Electrical Code. We were able to take this meaningful step because we reinstated the Chicago Electrical Commission, a board of industry experts, to study and make recommendations on strategies to modernize the electrical code back in 2015. The result is a state-of-the-art code that lowers the cost of electrical installations, reduces electricity usage, implements national standards, and lowers fixture counts in single-family homes and implements national standards for sustainability. Perhaps most importantly, it reduces new and renovation costs for both residential and non-residential rehabilitations. I would like to take a moment to thank Don Finn, who couldn't be here with us today, and also Local 134 for their tremendous support in getting the code drafted and training our inspectors on the new code. I would also like to congratulate them as they move into their new facilities on South King Drive and for their investment in our neighborhoods. And last month, we announced with the Plumbers Local 130 a landmark pilot program that allows a wider range of plumbing materials in smaller buildings and collect data on cost implications. We expect this to further reduce construction costs and spur even more development in our wonderful city. I greatly appreciate the leadership of Jim Coyne and Local 130 for their support in this endeavor. They're training our inspectors and journeymen on this pilot program in their state-of-the-art brand-new training facility. Also in Chicago. We also stepped up our code enforcement efforts with the passage of the Bad Contractor Ordinance last February. This powerful new legislation gives us the ability to further protect homeowners by preventing general contractors, architects, expediters, and subcontractors from applying for any new building permits when they are caught using unlicensed workers performing or directing work that is not code compliant or threatens the health and safety of our public. Since February, we have suspended 19 offending contractors, filed nearly 80 lawsuits in circuit court, and collected nearly $100,000 in fines and penalties to hold contractors accountable. This came out of the safety council we convened after the tragic death of firefighter Dan Capuano. Working with Frank Libby, who is here with us today, head of the Chicago Regional Council of Carpenters and private and also with private contractors, to find ways to increase safety. We were all frustrated by the limitations of the way contractors were disciplined. So a big thank you to Frank Libby and the Safety Council for his leadership. For many years, the department has been diligently working to get buildings to achieve compliance with the Life Safety Evaluation Ordinance. There were a total of 731 pre-1975 high-rise buildings that required LSC reports. To date, 581 of them are in compliance with the ordinance. 88 have opted to install a sprinkler system. 18 were determined that LSC was not necessary. And 17 are scheduled for reinspection because they're just about complied or they believe they're complied. So that leaves us with only 27 left in circuit court, and they're all in various stages of compliance. So right now we're at a 94% compliance rate, and so we've come a long ways towards high-rise building safety. And last but not least, we continue to enhance customer service for residential properties and businesses. This year, we created a guide to permits and a guide to signs to help home and small business owners understand the process and obtain their permits more quickly. Yes, we are proud of our success, but we're not going to rest on our laurels. We will keep working because we know that direct and indirect economic impacts of construction build stronger communities and neighborhoods throughout our beloved city. This past year, the building department has built in the successes and improvements of the year before by developing positive working relationships, meeting and learning from all those affected by the department, and improving our systems. We will continue with this strategy with our next big goal, which will be an update to our Chicago Building Code. In 2018, the department will prepare updates to the building and fire provisions of the Chicago Building Code and more closely align them with the International Building Code. This process will follow the successful consensus building strategy we used for the electrical code update. I am very grateful to Zurich Esposito, who's also here with us today, and the AIA, the American Institute of Architects. They reached out to me on day one and have provided their support. They meet with us monthly, and they're going to be our partners in this huge undertaking because, trust me, this is an enormous undertaking for the city to do. I was in the law department when we tried it twice before. I think I learned our mistakes and what we could have done better, and I think we're going to be able to push it through this time. So that's very exciting, and it's going to be great for the construction community in Chicago. Before 2018, we will be rolling out a schedule of evening and weekend inspectors at no cost to the department. Right now, it's a pilot program and asking for volunteers from our existing inspectors who would like to work more flexible schedules. We expect this to be up and running by December 1st, but like I said, we're still working out details, so stay tuned. But I think this is going to be a tremendous step forward. And again, I thank Frank Libby for his support on this as well. Again, the question we always ask ourselves when making a decision is whether the change will make it better than it was. And that's what we try to do every day at the building department. So back to my story. By the way, after I'd worked there for a year or so, my dad ran into a family friend. Her name was Mrs. Sugarman. And she said to my dad, they're catching up, and she says, by the way, how's Judy? And he says, oh, she's doing well. She's working. She has enough money to buy her paints. And she says, oh, I didn't know Judy was an artist. He said, no, for her face. So he would call, he called my makeup my paints. So anyway, I continued working through at the Jewish Center all through college, and then at the end of college, my dad said, well, it's good to know you can always work in an office. He also thought I was going to marry a shoe salesman, but that's a story for another time. Since that summer, nothing's really changed. I'm buying my paints, working in an office, and making changes when the system stinks. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Well, wasn't that great? That was terrific. Thank you, Commissioner.
Thank you.
And you ready to handle a few questions?
I love questions. I like them better than speeches.
First of all, you know, since you came here from Cincinnati, we're really glad because now we have Grater's Ice Cream here in Chicago.
I know. It's so exciting. It
is exciting. You can keep that Skyline Chili. Highly overrated.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I like it.
Too bad. Okay. We've got some really good questions here, and if anybody else has any questions, please hold up. Oh, Sarah, thank you. And we'll come and we'll pick them up. We'll try to answer as many of these as we can. This is from Mike Dubensky. What building code violations are a priority for the city of Chicago?
Thank you. Well, our priority, of course, is always anything that's imminently dangerous and hazardous. When I was in circuit court, that was because, as many of you know, I come from the law department. I represented the building department for many years there. And the first question, is it imminently dangerous and hazardous? Is somebody going to get hurt today or tomorrow by it? Of course, those are the most urgent. So a shaky porch, lack of smoke detectors, carbon monoxide detectors, things like that are the most serious. Other things we can take our time and work with people on, but if it's life safety, of course, that's priority number one.
Okay, thank you. This is from Zurich Esposito, American Institute of Zurich, right over. Okay, yeah. Was that Tom Murphy? Yes, started chuckling. Okay, yeah. Must know. How are you and your staff working with the community of Chicago architects to improve the standard and practice of building design and construction?
Well, we're very grateful to have Zurich and the AIA work with us on a monthly basis. They come in. We do a lot of code memo updates because even though we haven't done a great update to the Chicago Building Code, we do issue memos periodically to reflect updates in code and in practices and new technology. And the AIA has been a tremendous partner with us in that.
Okay. This is from Kurt Carnance with Environmental Systems Design. When will the City of Chicago Department of Buildings institute the new version of the National Electrical Code? How will it impact current Chicago specific code requirements?
So officially, the code goes into effect in March of 2018. But because it saves so much money for so many projects, if somebody wants to use it earlier, they can come in and ask for a meeting with myself and Grant Ulrich, our deputy commissioner that worked so hard on this, and Mike Reynolds, our chief electrical inspector, and we will work with them to allow them to use the code now. It saves a tremendous amount of money, like 83% on projects. It reduces the number of outlets you have to have. It reduces the amount of energy you need, and there's tons of good stuff in it. And so come on in and meet with us, and we'll help you use it.
Great. Okay, this is from Sanjiv Chadha with NWS Architects. In multi-story buildings, when applying for revenue clearance, I may have to explain some of this to us, who's responsible for landlord dues when we are only working for the tenant?
Oh.
City Club, you know.
I know.
Just give you softballs.
So last year, in an attempt for the city to be able to collect more bad debt, it was decided that we would expand the debt checks that we're doing on permits. And right now we're working very closely with the Department of Revenue. And the good thing is that you can come, there's a form online that you can fill out in advance and get to the Department of Revenue and get your revenue cleared even before you apply for a permit. That's good for a couple of months, so you're not scrambling when your permit's about to be issued for that. But we do understand that there are tenant landlord issues, and we have a good working relationship with the Department of Finance, and we're working that through. But if you need your permit and that's what's holding you up, we're going to work with you to get the permit, and we'll deal with that after. So if you get stuck with that, just send me an email, and we'll figure it out, because we're still working through that process. So please be patient with us.
Okay. This is from Kim Jackson with the Michaels Organization. How have the recent natural disasters impacted construction activity costs? How will the city respond if and when there becomes a shortage of human capital and materials? Interesting.
Yeah, it's a good question. I haven't been asked that one before. I think that when we look at our Chicago building code next year and we update it to align it more closely with the international code, we're going to look at what affects Chicago. And we will make sure that when we're aligning ourselves that we don't give up anything that protects us in the matter of a natural disaster. You know, the Chicago Building Code is an excellent building code. We are the last city that doesn't use the International Building Code. And New York adopted the International Building Code, but they kept a lot of their code in it because, like us, they have a lot of density, they have a lot of high-rises. So with the Chicago Building Code and the changes that we're going to make, I think what it's going to look like is we're probably going to discard about a third of our Chicago Code, keep a good third of our Chicago Code, and then adopt a third of the International Building Code. But this is where the AIA and our partnerships with so many of you are going to come into play to help us make these tough decisions.
Okay, good. Kevin Drewyer with the Chicago Hope Academy.
Oh, hi, Kevin. You're here? Hi.
Great. Kevin would like to know if the building department is working to make some sensible changes to outdated plumbing codes or special exemption zones to make rehabs in the most blighted neighborhoods possible, lowering the costs but mainly reducing vandalism associated with copper.
Yes. So in my speech, I think I alluded to that a little bit, is that we've been working with Local 130, the Plumbers Union, and we do have a pilot program out right now that lets you use alternative materials as allowed in the state of Illinois plumbing code in any building built before 2010 with any type of use, no more than four stories high. So if you're rehabbing buildings up to four stories, you can use these alternative materials, which we did not allow before in this pilot program. You just have to fill out a form online and follow the procedure on there because it is a pilot program. And then in new construction, it applies to anything that's four stories that's residential only. At the end of the 6 months, and I think the 6 months just started in October, is that we're going to evaluate everything and study it and go from there. We do understand that that's a big cost-saving measure, and we're working very hard towards that.
Great. Thank you. Another question from that Mike Dubensky.
Oh.
He's going for a twofer
today.
Where's
Mike?
Okay. Mike would like to know if you think that condo associations should be required to provide ground floor security, bars or cameras if located within 15 feet of the sidewalk? Interesting question.
Yes, it's a security question, and so it's not so much a Department of Buildings questions, but we do interface a lot with security issues because of buildings throughout the city having to deal with that. And I think that's something you talk to your condo association about and figure out for yourselves. I don't think any two buildings are exactly alike, so to ask for mandatory laws on every building when every building might not need it might not be the answer. The answer might be a case-by-case basis of the condo association deciding what's best for the safety of their residents.
And you said that you're going to be having inspectors out in the evening?
We're working on that.
How much illegal activity do you think goes on at night?
I think there's quite a bit.
Okay.
I think that they know our inspectors what time they get off work, and then they go start. And so, you know, I think what frustrates me the most is that we have gone out of our way to make the permit process so much easier, and we are accessible. Everybody here knows they can reach Asif and so many people in our staff, Marlene, Ed Doherty, I'm getting excited. So many people that we are willing to help them. So just get your permit. And you know what the good thing about a permit is that we check to make sure your workers are licensed and they're insured so that if something goes wrong, you have some recourse. So just do it the right way. In the end, it works out better for everybody.
Great. And in the end, it works out better for us having Judy here, doesn't it? Let's give her a big round of applause.